You're listening to DraftKings Network.
What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the Big Suey, a podcast exclusive.
Risky move.
Just when you thought the show could not be more diluted.
Walk the plank.
Bam.
No more free Disney trips.
Now here's the marching band of nowhere.
Matey.
Fat face.
Dan's been stress eating.
And the habitual liar.
Stugatz can't be trusted.
The Big Suey.
Yo ho, yo ho, a pirate radio life for me.
I don't think my words will matter, but after the games today and tomorrow, there's four teams left, I think, on the men's side and the women's side. They need to dump the COVID testing. Wouldn't it be a shame to keep COVID testing and then you got kids that end up having test positive or something and they don't get to play in a Final Four? So you need to just forget the COVID test and let the four teams that are playing in each Final Four go battle it out.
Kim Mulkey.
Okay. I feel like she said the quiet part out loud. I feel like leagues have definitely done this.
Yeah.
Let's not forget that Dabo Swinney said we can kick this thing in the teeth.
That was back in last June or something. Did you see how she would answer questions? She was fighting her mask the entire time to answer questions. She'd pull it down. Just absolutely stunning. She has zero regard for COVID protocol.
And would give voice to it just that confidently. I think she was about to curse in there, too.
Yeah,
wasn't
yeah. She
yeah.
stopped herself. She almost said shit.
She almost said, she was talking about COVID testing shit is what she almost said. And let me hear that again, because this was sort of bare naked when you listen to it. This feels a little bit, but you never hear this from a coach stated this plainly.
I don't think my words will matter. But after the games today and tomorrow, there's four teams left, I think, on the men's side and the women's side. They need to dump the COVID testing. Wouldn't it be a shame to keep COVID testing and then you got kids that end up having test positive or something and they don't get to play in a Final Four? So you need to just forget the COVID test and let the four teams that are playing in each Final Four go battle it out.
I mean, she is all of us. She is like, okay, let's just be done with this. Can we just be done with all of this?
She's got it confused, though. I mean, the shame would be that one of the kids actually tested positive and gave it to another kid. I mean,
there's that.
Mulkey.
I mean, her player was fouled hard enough that if one of those UConn defenders that fouled her player was actually positive with the coronavirus, there might have been the transmission of it.
Stugat said he watched the women more than the men last night.
Well, the men's game, it was interesting because at the time I was watching, the men's game was a blowout. And whenever you see UConn playing in the NCAA tournament, they've made 12 consecutive Final Fours going for their 13th. And they're being pushed. And I saw the score and Baylor was pushing them. They were up in the third quarter. And so I switched
second
over.
Second half.
Well, third quarter. No, they play four quarters. Yes. Listen, I watch women's college basketball, damn. Okay. They play four quarters.
They changed the rules. How
did they do that? I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Stugatz, to have questioned. What? For getting it wrong? I just assumed that it was two halves.
It's a major fine.
The pomposity of it.
And there's a shot clock. Like, they're just hoisting up shots quicker. And they're better shooters than the men. I mean, it's incredible. And Paige Beckers is a phenomenal player for UConn, and she is my daughter's favorite athlete. She loves watching her play basketball. So we flipped over to that game. It was a tremendous game. It's one of the best games I've ever seen, period. There was a play at the end of the game with UConn up two where there should have been a foul. And I understand why Kim Mulkey is upset after the game. The opposing player definitely came down. If you just put your hand straight up, you are fine, and it would not have been a foul. The Baylor player trying to get her final shot, but she really clamped down and came down on her arm. And when you watched it in replay, you wondered to yourself, how did the referee miss that? And I felt so bad. As good as I felt for Paige Beckers, who played great, played like the best player in women's college basketball, I felt really bad for Baylor because they were stripped of an opportunity to perhaps make the Final Four because that should have been a foul. It was a tremendous game. It was fun to watch.
I saw a lot of people were saying that. You were not alone in enjoying where that game was going, and UConn is always so impressive in that sport, so dominant in that sport, that it is the one time over the last few years that I remember sort of it spreading, hey, get to your television, UConn is about to lose, which is not something you see a whole lot across women's sports, but speaks to the dominance of that particular team. So that lures you as much as Baylor, and great game, right? The idea that, is this the time I'm going to see UConn lose?
Well, I was wondering, am I being drawn to this for the right reasons? Because the reason I was drawn to it was because I wanted to see if UConn was going to lose. That's it. When you're going for 13 straight Final Fours.
But that's how they elevate, right? That's how they end up elevating the sport around them, because they elevate Baylor, where you're sitting there watching and all of a sudden you find yourself caring about what it is you're watching.
I will tell you, when you have a Loyola Chicago game where Loyola has 16 points at the half, like, aesthetically, you know, this is more pleasing to me. Like, the game is up and down. There's a shot clock. They're taking shots. They're better shooters. It was a very enjoyable experience. And I'm sorry if I sound surprised, but I'm surprised. I enjoyed it more than the men's NCAA tournament last night. I did.
I think a lot of people were surprised that the game is evolving and getting better because, look, I'll be honest. I'll put myself out there. It was a rough watch, women's college basketball, for me. Unless, like, it was Tennessee versus UConn, I really couldn't get into it because the quality of the game. And there's a lot of sports that I choose to not watch because the quality is down. I tuned out on the NFL for a year and a half because I didn't like the way that the game was being played.
It was slower before, and there were a lot of times you would tune in. Keep in mind what you were watching. You're watching a sport sort of birthed, right? You were watching the start of a movement that has now found its footing in this country. And the initial parts of it were a lot of knee injuries, a lot of big women who didn't necessarily have a lot of fundamental skills, and what you're watching is the evolution. That's how a sport grows and gets stronger, where you're watching a basketball game last night that is more aesthetically pleasing, and you're saying things like, they're better shooters than the men, which is not something I've ever heard about women's basketball.
I mean, I'm watching a game last night. Oregon State has 17 points at the half. I flip over to UConn and Baylor, and Paige Beckers is crossing people over off the dribble, stepping back and hitting threes. It was interesting to see.
I saw this last night with the Miami Heat, and I wanted to go back to Greg Cody here on some of the stuff we were talking about during the local hour. And I want to tell you, this is not something we have had the time to do around here very much during the pandemic and during the last few months of crazy Metal Arc Media stuff, but we have a produced radio bit that centers around Goat Piss Mike that we have to get to at some point during the show. Goat Piss Mike has become a rising star around here because he is the voice of our tournament. We've got to update our tournament as well. But one of the things, it was such a casual thing, Stugatz, that I saw last night during the Heat game that obviously doesn't mean much in the context because it was just a snapshot of a moment. But I thought to myself, of 10 years ago watching basketball, and Bam Adebayo comes up you know what Bam Adebayo is physically. He is a pterodactyl.
He's a freak. Yeah.
He's 6'11" and he's always the most athletic, or 6'10" and the most athletic person out there. Muscles on top of muscles.
He's poorly officiated too, because he doesn't seem like he's 6'11" when he glides in there. He doesn't have this amazing mass. He's cut. And the guy takes a beating on the inside. He never comes away with the calls.
The thing, though, that I saw last night, and I still marvel at it, though, Stugatz, even though it's the most common thing, but I'm looking at it specifically through the prism of where and how I watched basketball in 2010, when the Miami Heat were putting together a triumvirate of positionless players, and just what the sport has become. To see Bam Adebayo come down the court dribbling the ball and then just very casually, without looking, go dribble behind his back, like around his ankles, not moving his hips or anything, just like dribbling like a point guard, not looking at the basketball, just knowing that when he goes behind his back and with a defender right in front of him, and he's going to move it from one hand to the other without looking, gracefully, not between the legs, not in front of him, just looking like a point guard, takes a jab step and then just hits a little 12-foot jumper, and I'm like, that wasn't something that existed in 2010. Not even Kevin Garnett could do that. Like, not that. Kevin Garnett was a wonderfully graceful player, but that wasn't something that he was about, even as he was great at mid-range jumpers. It wasn't handle.
Karl Malone didn't do that. You didn't have power forwards doing things that power forwards are doing now, meaning dribbling and having it look like it's a natural thing. That's what they're doing. They're doing it like they're point guards. It's what Rick Carlisle said after seeing Zion. He is Shaq with point guard skills. Yeah. I mean,
you didn't see that skill at the five. You did see, by 2010, you did see 6'10", 6'11" wing players that were just like, we're actually going to do the European thing where we're not putting you at the five. Bam is kind of different. Jokic is certainly different, where they display that skill set.
Giannis is different.
Yeah, but Giannis is a wing player. We're now starting to see people like, you have to have five guys on the court that does that. That's a very 2020s thing. Where in 2010, you had those guys and, okay, this guy's the superstar. Get out of his way. It's Kevin Durant. Giannis is of that mold. Bam and Jokic, they're cut different.
Jokic is something. I don't even understand what Jokic is. He had a play the other day where I'm watching it, and I'm like, this is not how they could possibly teach it. He's just holding the ball there. He's about 12 feet from the basket, Stugatz, and he just sort of staring at the floor, sort of throws the ball at the floor with two hands. It's not the way anybody would teach it, and then just shoots the ball a jumper because he's too tall for anyone to actually block it, and it was too awkward for anything to do to be done with it.
He is averaging Jokic. No one cares about him. No one wants him in the NBA Finals. No one wants him around. It seems like that man is averaging 27 points per game, 11 rebounds per game, 8.5 assists, and he is shooting 43% from three. I mean,
the four or five that can get their shot off from anywhere, Dirk was maybe the first to do that in terms of just, because Dirk was impossible to stop. He can get his shot off from anywhere. He wasn't skilled the way Bam and Jokic were in terms of ball possession and initiating offense, but you dump the ball into him, he could shoot from any angle. Now that's like a required skill set if you want to be a star in the league. Julius Randle's doing it.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Stugatz, I think you probably know who said this, but if you don't, it could be funny. This is from a few years ago. Now everybody wants to play for the Heat and the Lakers. This is a quote. Let's go back to being competitive and going at these peoples. Do you recognize that quote? Have you heard that quote anywhere?
Kevin Durant?
That is Kevin Durant. That is Kevin Durant.
KD.
That is KD from 10 years ago. No championships in your personal record book. Now everybody want to play for the Heat and Lakers. Let's go back to being competitive and going at these peoples. Then he goes to Golden State, greatest assembly of talent you've ever seen. Now he's with the Nets, and Steve Nash is being quoted saying things like, what? You don't want us to get better? Like, and it's hard to argue with him, right? Because they get Blake Griffin, they get LaMarcus Aldridge, and Steve Nash is just saying, okay, let me see if I have this straight. So you guys want us to actively try to not get better. You want us to have LaMarcus Aldridge be available to us and try not to get him so he can go to the Heat and we can play against him.
He had to know that. I mean, he had to know that reaction was coming, right? Because that's what happens when you have a stacked team and you keep stacking good players on top of good players. People are going to get upset about
it. But this is what Blake Griffin is saying. Quote, it's kind of funny to me because for the last couple of years, all I've heard is how bad I am. You sign with this team and everybody's like, that's not fair.
Yeah, because you're no longer the best player on a team. You're the fifth best player on a team. And that's a really good team when Blake Griffin is maybe your fifth best player at this point.
Jalen Rose says the Miami Heat are the favorite in the East, the Nets out there.
Wow. Damn, he said that before LaMarcus Aldridge grabbed headlines, though. So you got to swing the other way. It's amazing. Everyone kind of forgets that the Nets get Harden because the Heat get Oladipo, and that's enough to swing the pendulum. I don't get it. And now a LaMarcus Aldridge Photoshop is going to do it for you.
What everyone's forgetting about is Giannis. I mean,
yeah, and PJ Tucker. Giannis is pissed off.
Yeah, yes, he is.
Did they just get Jeff Teague in the buyout market too?
They did. They got Teague. Yeah,
they're kind of loading up.
Now I know you laugh at Jeff Teague, but I promise you, Dan, there's going to be a game six, second round. Jeff Teague's going to be in there 5 minutes and a couple of threes, and Mike and I are going to laugh at you. I mean,
I saw a photo of Jeff Teague in a Celtics uniform. I must have missed that.
All right, put it on the poll, please, Billy, at your convenience, at Lebatard Show. Our Mike and Stugatz going to laugh at Dan about Jeff Teague in game six of the second round.
It might be the first. It could be an Eastern Conference final. There's going to be a massive shot hit by Jeff Teague, yep. And laughter will ensue.
Yep, Dan, don't do this. Every year we tell you about George Hill. And every May, George Hill shows up.
I thought we were doing this together on George Hill. Why are you making me an opponent on George Hill?
No, because you used to blast us for updating every single little move. And I told you one year that George Hill's going to hit big shots in the playoffs. And he did, because he always does. That's what George Hill does. I mean, he's made a career of it.
Put it on the poll, Guillermo, at Lebatard Show. Is what George Hill does always hitting enormous threes in the playoffs?
I don't know.
I don't think that's accurate, but you've gotten carried away again, which is something that happens to Stugatz often around here.
He puts a gentleman in the gentleman sweep, George Hill, in the conference finals.
So Greg Cody now returns. He is is that a room with actual plastic furniture, plastic wrapping on the furniture? What room are you now in, Greg? You're not on your toilet. What are you?
I'm in my bedroom.
Baby.
I'm sitting on my bed, and it's very comfortable, but I just cut my leg. My leg is bleeding, and I don't know what to do.
What do you mean?
Really?
Like, on what?
I mean, how bad a cut is it?
You know, I could show you, but it would be unpleasant.
Okay, go ahead and show us. Show us how bad a cut it is.
I'm just a little distracted right now.
He's frozen, though.
Oh,
man. Yeah,
wow. That is a gash.
That is a gash.
You might need a Band-Aid for that.
Greg.
You just cut yourself on your bed?
Need sutures for that.
Greg, go ahead.
Yeah, I don't. What is sharp on my bed? I'm trying to figure that out.
Greg.
Pillows.
I didn't mean to distract the show. I'm sorry.
You are flabbergasting and breathtaking in your unrelenting incompetence. It is a delight at every turn. Please go take care of your leg. We will get to your dolphin thoughts, but this is what happens, people. All of you people who criticize me, I'm too mean to Greg. I don't include him.
He's a victim here.
He's bleeding.
I don't include him enough. This is what happens around here all the time. Look at how hard I'm trying to get to his dolphin thoughts that I don't actually care about. And I can't get to them without him stabbing himself in his bedroom with something sharp. Like, I can't. I don't actually want the thoughts. I'm just trying to include him on the show, but I can't get to him without him hemorrhaging.
Which hurt literally, more, Greg, the cut or those words?
Yeah.
I know, right?
Yeah. But the,
all right, I'm gonna go clean up. I'll be back in a minute.
All right. The chasing down of the thoughts is more exciting.
It's unbelievable. I want you guys to put I want you to announce Chris. Now we've lost Chris from the show because he's got to go help his dad. So we've got two members down. Get the show killer sound because this is unbelievable. I didn't want his dolphin thoughts.
Shocker.
I'm back.
Great. How you feel?
I feel great now.
All right.
Yeah, I'm all band-aided.
You stitched that up yourself, Rambo style?
Yes.
Attaboy.
I still don't know what would have cut my leg. What's sharp about a bed? You know,
there's always
a wooden frame.
Yeah, right, box springs. There's always things hanging around, outside the bed.
Every bed has something sharp in it that can cut you.
It'd be very dangerous game walking around beds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I found it.
It's a good question by Roy, Greg. Is that the bed you broke?
It's the new bed that replaced the bed I broke.
Mm-hmm. Ned.
It's a beautiful bed with a beautiful comforter on it.
Oh, I love
best
a good
bed
comforter.
I've ever had.
Yeah.
Nothing better than a good comforter.
Oh, white comforter, though. You got to be careful with the blood, Greg.
I know. Believe me.
There was
I already got blood on my pants here. It's ridiculous.
Carpet. Yeah, do you have...
Yeah, you got blotched. Yeah.
Do you have blood on the carpet yet or anywhere? Or?
Oh, wow, the shorts. Pants.
Yeah, I would start thinking about a story, an excuse, something.
It's a good-looking fan also.
Is it, though?
Yeah.
It's a nice-looking fan.
A fan's look at me. Just give me an old-fashioned fan with...
Yeah.
I'll show you a fan.
Looks like it has some leaves.
No,
like
my eyes tear up. It's a little much, you know?
Love a good fan.
Well, you got to clean the fan as dust accumulates on the fan there.
Well, yeah, you got to clean
everything. We're fan people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I have fans and I like fans. I like the way they look. Okay. I just don't like my wife loves having all the fans on. I like turning them off. I like AC.
You like the way the fan looks.
Yes.
I like the way the fan feels.
Yeah.
You don't like the air circulating in the room?
No.
Who do you think of our group sleeps with their fan on the highest speed?
Ooh, Billy.
Really, Billy? I didn't have that.
That kicks up dust. I don't have Billy.
But Billy said, Billy cleans his fans, like, he's very careful about that.
Yeah, you gotta clean the fans.
That's why I don't like the fans, because I have trouble breathing, my eyes tear up, I don't like it at all.
Surprisingly, I'm not allergic to many things.
What are you most allergic to? Have you done the test?
No, you think I'm crazy?
No.
I never do anything.
You're afraid to find out of all the things
I'd be a bubble boy.
Right.
Billy, when you get those forms, though, you just check no allergies?
Yeah.
Me too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Listen, all right. I'm at the hospital. You guys figure it out, okay? Like, you're the professionals. You do the test. You figure it out, okay? If I'm just gonna tell you what's wrong, what am I even here for?
Right. You're going to them to figure out what's wrong. Mm-hmm. Correct. They're supposed to have the answers, not you.
Medical history.
Right.
I didn't go to medical school.
Right. Why would you have the answers? College. Right.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. I mean, what's the copay for? What are all the machines for? You know what I mean?
Right.
You guys subscribe to the theory that everyone is allergic to something. It's just about finding out what you're allergic to. That's
sure.
I just kind of said for the first time. I've never really read that theory, but it just sounds...
Yeah, it's like everybody's good at something. You just got to figure out what you're good at. Right. I'm with you.
All the journalistic boxes. Everything I did there was fair, Woody.
But why did you say that? Like, you're just saying something to say something.
Well, why else would you say anything? I mean,
thank you.
You don't subscribe to that theory.
I mean, it's entirely possible. Most people are probably allergic to something, but
Oh, he's right.
Like to,
ambiguous.
Okay, to have concocted a theory based off no scientific evidence is
I just asked
weird.
That's, it's a theory.
That's why it's a theory, not a fact.
Theory.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
The theory of relativity. The theory of relativity did not start from, well, I think E equals MC squared.
Yeah, of like, course it did.
Okay.
A hunch, hypothesis.
It was a theory that was proven.
Somebody was like, do you guys believe in this theory of A squared plus B squared equals C squared?
Chris, this is just a little, I think Witty's a little jealous that you came up with a good theory here.
Right.
What's going on?
You stole his theory.
Right.
He's the theory guy.
As Greg says, still bleeding.
Greg, you may want to elevate your leg.
Yeah, you probably
did. Oh,
well,
man,
starting to turn a shade of
purple. Put your leg down, man. Yeah. Put your leg down.
Green. You okay?
That kind of thing. By the way, when a doctor asks you if you have any allergies, never answer no. The correct answer is not that I'm aware of.
Yeah, that's what I said.
It's not one of the boxes, though.
No, you got it. No. New answer, Greg? That's for you to figure out.
Right. Yeah, that's why I'm here.
Box, yeah.
They do ask. I mean, you go to them for advice, and they ask an awful lot of questions, Bill. It's a great point by you. Yeah.
Like, why don't you fill this form out about me?
Right. You tell me what's wrong. I mean, fuck.
Here's the thing. When you go in, right, and they're like, well, what are you feeling or whatever, right? And it's like, well, I have this pain or that pain. It's kind of like, well, like, just give me a full tune-up. You know what I mean? Let's see what we can find. Let's see what's going on here.
Right.
Because if I'm telling you I just have this pain and it's like unrelated and it's caused by something over here, but I feel it over here, let's figure things out, okay? I don't want to be back.
A full tune-up.
Love a good once-over.
That's the physical, right? I mean,
yeah, like there's something wrong with the carburetor or something.
I'm just saying, if you're going to put me in for a scan of some kind, let's just get the whole... Let's get the whole picture, you know? Let's not just focus in on one area.
Aren't most trips to the doctor largely unsatisfying? Like, you can only really walk in and present symptoms that everyone else has.
No.
Most
no,
everything I no. go in with just sounds like a head cold.
It's not.
But I feel like shit, and I want it fixed.
No, when you're a hypochondriac at the levels that me and Billy are, when you walk in, you walk in expecting the worst. So every time you walk out of a doctor's office, it's a great experience, okay? I'm telling you.
No, because... Woody's right. This is a situation when you go to the doctor, right? You walk in and you think you have all this stuff, right? And if you walk out and they're like, you're fine, you're like, well, this was a waste of time. This was a waste of a trip. Or he doesn't know what he's talking about. She doesn't know what she's talking about. They didn't find it. There's something there. Right. They just haven't determined what it was. See? And I know that it's there. So no matter what, the doctor visit is a losing proposition. Because if you walk in and they find nothing, you walk out, you're either dissatisfied because you're like, this was a total waste of time, or they didn't find what it was, or you walk out and they found something and you're like, yeah, this is the worst. It's over for me.
I like getting, like, being told that you have something, that I'm not a crazy person for needing to go to the doctor. And, like, the weirdest thing with, like, head colds and things like that is, oh, just wait a couple weeks. Oh, so I'm just going to be sat in bed sick for 2 weeks until something washes over me? It's just
You
so
like
ridiculous.
Being diagnosed with something?
I do, because it's the logical conclusion of feeling like shit for a week.
So, Billy, you shift to the next doctor. If you're convinced that something is wrong with you and that doctor doesn't tell you there's something wrong, you'll go to another doctor until some doctor tells you, hey, you're right, there's something wrong with you. No, you won't do that.
Second, third, fourth, fifth, and sixth opinion.
No, because in the time that it would take for me to set up an appointment with another doctor, something else will come up that I have to, you know, get looked into. You know what I mean? So I get distracted by some other ailment that I think I have.
Are we going to let slide that Whittingham said that he likes going to the doctor and
I'm still shaking my head at that. Like, that what are we talking?
Clean bills of health are overrated.
I didn't let it slide.
Well, I don't feel like the show should move from that spot. Witty said that confidently as if that were a normal thing that he likes hearing from the doctor. Hey, you have bubonic plague.
If he doesn't walk out with a disease, he is disappointed. It is the oddest take in the history.
I don't understand.
It's the oddest take since taking a nap during the witching hour.
No, he's right. He's right. It's like before when you go to Marlins games and it was rained out, you're like, well, I came to watch baseball today and now I've left dissatisfied. That's what he wants. I came in here to be diagnosed with something. Diagnose me.
But it's also, so you are obviously, you've gotten to the point where you feel bad enough to go to the doctor, right? That didn't just happen for no reason. My body didn't just shut down for no reason. So can you tell me what's wrong with me? Because otherwise, I'm just sat here thinking, am I deluding myself into thinking I'm sick?
So you just want the confirmation. You don't want the doctor to say to you, you don't feel that the doctor's saying to you, Chris, you just need to go home and rest. That's not good enough for you.
Make something up.
Or give me a medication of some sort so that I don't have to feel like
this
anymore.
Even a placebo.
Yeah.
Is your father okay, Chris? Because he's just left the Zoom again. He was tending to his leg the entire time. He's getting in the way of everything we're doing. Stugatz wants to start a new segment that is just chasing Greg Cody's thoughts through his house.
Because, I mean, the chase is better than the actual thoughts.
Because this is unbelievable. Every week he makes it more and more difficult to do the show with him.
I'm half expecting to turn to the Zoom and see a dead Greg Cody on the bed because he's lost so much blood.
Now he's waving at us. Greg, what is your status, please? We're doing a show, and all you're doing is getting in the way of it because you're wandering around your house hemorrhaging.
Right. I just got disconnected. I don't know how, but I don't think it was my fault. I think it might have been an error on your end.
Okay. Right. All right, Greg, thank you for all your contributions so far today. Let's go ahead and update our tournament and get to this radio bit. Like, this is, even by Greg Cody's standards, the way that he is kicking me in the nuts every segment today is flabbergasting. And I understand.
And he's doing it on a hobbled leg.
No, and here's the worst part, and this is where I get screwed throughout eternity. It's funny as hell. Like, I can't deny at all that there has been nothing funnier in the show today than him wandering around actively. Stugatz, I swear to you, this is the truth, okay? I've often...
Can only see his belly right now.
I've often wondered, listen, this is something that I did a show for 10 years on television with my father. My father did not belong on television. That was the appeal of the show. The appeal of the show and the way that he became the star of the show is that I became the straight man for a man who clearly didn't belong on television. I often wondered if my father had actual comedic chops, if he was a personality that had been drawn up or had a script of funny, could writers have made it funnier than my father made it by not belonging on television? And I'd always arrive at the place of no, because you can't dream up the authentic weirdness that happens when you put someone on television, or in this case, on podcast, who doesn't know where he is. And so...
Even when he's in his own house.
So I understand that the chief formula across 20 years on this show is annoy Dan, it's funny. Annoy Dan, it's funny.
Yeah.
Greg Cody is exceptional at it. He's not trying to do that on purpose. Well, this is all an accident. And the way today that he arrived at disrupting the show beyond just going, hey, are you guys there? My phone went out. Your fault. Is he went to another room because his Zoom didn't function correctly. I asked him to go to a toilet. Couldn't do that successfully. Asked him to go to landline. Decided to do cell phone, even though he still got a landline. Now he's sitting in his bedroom. Can't sit correctly without cutting himself, and then taking his son out of the show too because his son is worried at the size of the gash.
And the fact that it's turning green.
He literally couldn't sit down.
It's unbelievable what's happening right now.
While I'm trying, Billy, I'll get back to you in a second.
It's like the Knicks thinking Willis Reed was trying to sabotage the show. This is Greg's Willis Reed game right now. He's playing through a horrible leg injury.
Thank you.
No one's thanking him. Thank you, Greg, for doing this.
More like Paul Pierce, actually.
Billy knows.
He knows.
I'm toughing it out here.
Okay. Right. Again, I want to point this part out again because I think this peek behind the curtain is important. While I'm pitying the old-timey Dolphins columnist because he's not involved enough in the show and asking him for, again, Dolphin thoughts I did not want! Pity thoughts! Pity thoughts! And I cannot get to them because he's bleeding! Let's update the tournament, Mike. Let's update the tournament before we get to a produced bit. We have a bit, Stugatz. I can't believe it.
Amazing.
A year... In the pandemic, we have had precious, precious few organized professional bits.
Right. So go to the first bit.
The first bit is Baylor, number one seed, advancing because...
Doug Peterson looks like he specifically asked for full custody of the basement air hockey table in his divorce.
That means Arkansas is gone. That means this is gone. I didn't like this one that much anyway.
Daniel Jones looks like an actor playing Eli Manning in a Peyton Manning biopic.
Houston has advanced. Number two, Houston. This is good. We like this one.
Nick Nurse looks like the camp counselor who, while telling the campers there is absolutely no such thing as monsters, cannot see the half-man, half-swamp creature walking out of the lake behind him.
Houston defeated Oregon State. Greg, you've got a favorite looks like of all time, right? That's not in the tournament anymore, I don't think. I think it lost, but your favorite is which one of all time, Greg?
I love the one about Jeff Van Gundy looks like an old, tired eagle.
Put it on the poll, Guillermo, please. What does Jeff Van Gundy look more like, an old, tired eagle or the Queen of Hearts? Oregon State, the 12 seed, lost.
Pete Carroll looks like the cop who answers the phone, snapping his fingers with a raised arm, as if to tell the rest of the precinct to trace the call because it's a kidnapper on the line.
That is a good one, too. It really is.
Great delivery.
So this is what's left in the West, in the Adam Silver region. We have Gonzaga still around, still undefeated, represented by...
Adam Silver looks like Dracula's vampire accountant named Calcula.
Number six, USC, repped by
Adam Silver looks like the candy stick inside a pack of Fun Dip.
He really does.
I want that to win.
And in the East, Michigan, Juwan Howard and them boys, repped by
Andrew Luck looks like the guy who picks up his Starbucks order and then says, "Thanks a latte."
Number 11, UCLA, is the last team still remaining in the Elite Eight.
Bob Huggins looks like a low-level guy in a mob movie who is just about to eat a meatball at his favorite restaurant when he gets whacked.
So Goat Piss Mike is the subject of a radio bit. Mike, I don't know any. Thank you, Greg, for just coughing vigorously into your phone. I appreciate that.
Willis Reed game, man.
Chris, how often is he just staring at his phone? Chris,
game now too.
Chris, I want Chris, I want your assessment so far. You you have to be marveling at this point, Chris. Which is it? Is it laughter or shame? Because he has been an epic disaster. Faster, and also, he's never been better.
I mean, you guys don't hear half of it, though. He puts himself on mute, and he's just hacking. And I'm, like, hearing it across the room. I'm worried about him. I don't know if he stopped the bleeding on his leg, because he is someone that would just, like, continue on and just, like, oh, I'll worry about it later. Like, have you stopped the bleeding, Dad?
Yeah. I put a big Band-Aid on.
Greg, why did you go to speakerphone?
I'm not on blood thinner. Greg, so I don't know why it was.
He's rolling, dude.
Greg, why did you put the when your son asked you a question, why did you take the phone, put it on speaker, and hold it to your knee far away from your lips?
Well, I had it on speakerphone and on mute, so I had to undo both buttons, and it was, you know, took me a second.
Sit down. We can't see your face.
Greg,
what kind of first aid treatment did you put on that gash? Because I got you being the kind of guy that just puts a piece of shipping popcorn in there and saying that'll do,
or just lets it dry up.
No, I wish I had a little Neosporin to put on it, but I couldn't find any.
Some ointment.
Yeah. All right, guys,
put dirt on it.
Help me, guys, please, because in the initial stages of Highly Questionable, I remember Brian Dawkins coming on the show, and I remember sort of aspiring to what Brian Dawkins was saying he was, which he was talking about things that he's proud of, and one of the things that he mentioned is that he had arrived at a place where he could be patient with his father. And I bring this up for a reason.
I'm not there yet.
Greg, are you okay? Because, Chris, tell me, I'm not wrong when you're worried about his leg, correct? Because it's a gash and he's not properly taking care of it, and he continues to barrel through on doing the show when it's really not necessary because all he's doing is getting in the way of the show.
It's a substantial cut. I think he has a Band-Aid on it now. I think we're good, but like I said before, it could just be bleeding, gushing out right now, and he wouldn't even say anything.
Hmm. Mike, where are we?
The problem is the cut is on a part of my leg that's almost impossible to see. So I have to use a mirror to apply the Band-Aid and everything. You know, there's certain parts of the body.
It's on your shin. Really can't.
I'm looking at the spot on my leg right now.
It's on your shin, Greg. What are you talking about?
I can't see it on Greg's legs. So.
Greg,
it's to the right of my shin bone.
Right.
It's not on my shin. It's to the right, and it's tough to see. I have to sort of contort.
Like the right calf. Yeah, like the side of the right calf. I understand that, right?
I have no problem looking at the side of my right leg.
I'll put it on the poll, please, at Lebatard Show. Do you have any problem seeing your shins? Do you have any
shin.
Do you have any
It's to the right of the shin.
Do you have any problem seeing all parts of your shin? Greg,
oh, that could be difficult to see. Yeah, it's bleeding through.
It's not my shin.
Yeah, yeah.
It's on the front of your leg, dude.
That's a big bandage, too.
It really is.
Thank you. Yeah.
Okay, you're welcome. You're welcome for thanking you on the size of the
looks
bank.
Even more like Mac's mom this week.
I love a big Band-Aid. Who doesn't?
Put it on the poll, Guillermo. Do you love a big Band-Aid? Let's get to this bit. What is it, Mike? How do you set it up?
This was birthed. I don't know if it ended up making the podcast or if it was just something that we were joking around off air, but we were talking about Go Piss Mike's voice, which is the unsung star of March Sadness. Better than any of the looks like is experiencing Go Piss Mike's voice, who's become an unlikely voice around these parts. And some of us found his voice soothing. And we're like, wouldn't it be funny?
you guys did the meditation.
Yeah. If you opened up the calm app and Go Piss Mike was leading you through guided meditation.
I think that's as happy as I was at any point last week when we were sitting here talking about whether he would soothe you at times of needed tranquility.
Feel the earth beneath your feet as you breathe deeply. Deep, calm, cooling breaths. Feel your lungs expand. Feelings come and go like clouds in a windy sky. Conscious breathing is your anchor. You are but a drop of water returning to the ocean. Feel the energizing power of that water. You are returning to your power source. You are in your happiest of places. Breathe ever so deeply and hold for 5 seconds. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Understand this and be free. We are not in our bodies. Our bodies are inside us.
That's so deep.
Deep, calm, cooling breaths. Exhale slowly. I can't tell you how much I say from the bottom of my heart. I'm so very, very sorry. I pride myself and think of myself as a man of faith, as there's a drive into deep left field by Castellanos, and that'll be a home run. And so, that'll make it a 4-0 ball game.
Billy was in a trance before we ruined it all. He was
I feel calmer, Dan.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Billy was doing it right. That's how you got to do it. While I appreciated the laughs and that bit being successful, I need you guys to really immerse yourselves into it. Really feel the cooling, calming influence of Goat Piss Mike. Luckily, there's a second cut.
Breath is the power behind all things. I breathe in and know that good things will happen. Feel your own body weight rest against your own bones. Rule number one is don't sweat the small stuff. Rule number two is it's all small stuff. In less than an hour, aircraft from here will join others from around the world.
Okay, now it's...
Breathe.
Breathe, Dan.
Slowly. You'll be launching the largest aerial battle in the history of mankind.
Wait a minute.
Mankind.
This is Bill Pullman.
That word should have new meaning for all of us today.
Trying to stay calm here.
Trying to concentrate, Dan.
Deep, calm, cooling breaths. Feel your lungs expand. Perhaps it's fate that today is the 4th of July.
See, I knew it.
And you will once again be fighting for our freedom. Not from tyranny, oppression, or persecution, but from annihilation. We are fighting for our right to live, to exist.
Cody has no idea what's happening right now.
Rake your toes against the Earth's crust. All while controlling your breathing. And should we win the day,
oh, come on,
the 4th of July will no longer be known as an American holiday, but as the day the world declared in one voice, we will not go quietly into the night. We will not vanish without a fight. We're going to live on. We're going to survive. Today, we celebrate our Independence Day.
Just feel looser.
He is good, man.
Calming, yet familiar tune.
Or he's just melted away there.
You guys, when they tell you, like, close your eyes and take deep breaths, are you guys the ones that, like, after a couple, like, 30 seconds, or open your eyes to make sure everyone else's eyes are still closed and they haven't just kind of, like, left you alone in the room?
Yeah. No, my eyes are open the entire time.
Really?
Distrustful. Yeah. So distrustful, Roy. You can't meditate because you Weird. Don't trust one people? Eye
open. Well, I don't trust anybody.
So. You kiss with your eyes open?
He meditates with one eye open. Nunya.
I'm married now. I don't kiss anymore.
Nunya meditates with one eye open. He's not, like a dolphin.
Again, Mike, you don't understand. It's not one eye. He's telling us it's both eyes. He is saying he meditates. He doesn't trust anybody. He's never putting his guard down. Nunya.
Now I want Roy to do that bit where it's like, relax.
Breathe.
You're fine. Everything's fine.
Everything is
relax,
fine.
But don't let your guard down too much.
Chris, you're on to something. Roy, you need to do that.
Open one of those
eyes. Chris, you guys need to produce that bit. Roy, the distrustful yogi.
No one.
Breathing is your anchor. And also Sidney Crosby's
Yeah, f*** that guy.
Hey, everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.